gave me a message early this morning. My thought was, is getting ready to meet the Lord. I don't know how many people's ready to meet the Lord, but I know that everybody says they are, is not ready. If they were, things would be a whole lot different in the church, in our nation, in our country, in our community. If everybody that says that they're really ready to meet the Lord were ready, I'll tell you, this house would be full, huh? Everybody'd be rejoicing. You know, that's one thing I like about revival. When you have revival and get everybody in one accord and they get ready. And you know, when they're ready, they're ready for revival every night. You take a revival breaks out and they're ready for revival every night. I want to turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 and begin with verse 9 and reading down through verse 14. And this is a whole lot of what we have to be ready for. Now, he told about what's going to happen, but you got to be ready for what's going to happen. And that's my message this morning. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." Look at that. "But that all should come to repentance." Let's just read it all. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth shall also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hasting of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, let's go into this and see what manner of persons ought we to be. What are we supposed to be? Now, there's one thing to talk about going to heaven or going with the Lord, but there's another thing to being ready to go. And another scripture tells us, "Be ye therefore ready, for you know not what hour that your Lord is going to come." You don't know what hour. You don't know what day. You don't know what week. You don't know what hour that he's going to come. But when he comes, you have to be ready. We have to be ready. Be ready. So let's go and take each verse now and preach just a little bit on each verse. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God has given us a book of promises here, and he's not slack concerning these promises that he's given. He has given us these promises that we might expect something from him, these promises. And he's not slack concerning these promises. He is ready to give you these promises that he has made to us. He was ready to die upon the cross. He was ready to go through all the anguish and all the hurt and the stripes upon his back for our healing. And he was anguished and he was hurt, but he was ready to do this. And he's not slack. When God says he'll do something, hath he not said it? Will he not make it good? The Bible teaches that God will always make his word good. His word is good. Our word may not always be good, but I'm going to tell you, his word is good. And he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward. He puts up with you and I a long time. It takes him a long time to get angry. How many knows the Bible teaches us also to be slow to anger? He's slow to anger. But when God gets angry, It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God, because he's proven also that he can be destructive as well as creative. But he's willing that not that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. What did Peter preach? Well, after, you know, God was willing and long-suffering with Peter, and not willing that he should perish. And he finally prayed too and made one of the greatest preachers in the Bible. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he said, his message was simply this: repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. So repentance brings us to a place that we can receive. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. I'll quote it and you can read it. Acts 3, 19. Peter preaching this: repent ye. That's the key. Therefore, and be converted. Converted, you know, a lot of people are not converted. They got saved, but they never did get converted. When you're converted over into a Christ-like creature. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Your sin. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. See, if we're repented and converted, he's not slack concerning his promise. He's going to give us what is in the promise, and he won't fail, but we got to be repented and converted that our sins are blotted out. Converted means that your sins be blotted out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 has something to say about that. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the way you get in the perfect will of God. And a person that's in the perfect will of God is blessed. I'm telling you, because God is not slack concerning his promises. He'll do what he said he'll do. So, verse 10 tells us now, but it's through repentance here. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming. He'll slip through one night, one day, one time, when you least expect him, and it'll be all over. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, now I want you to get this, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Why are they going to pass away? Wait a minute here, we're looking for a new heaven, ain't we? How many's looking for a new heaven and a new earth? And something's going to dwell there. We're going to find that out in a few minutes. Something's going to dwell there that we don't see much of today. Listen to what it says. And the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, you wouldn't have thought about that. Somebody said, how could the earth burn up? Did you know if this earth got out of orbit and went shooting through the space, it would be like a falling star burning? All it has to do is just get 1 degree or something like that out and get it out of orbit. God is so perfect with his promise. You can set your clock and the sun's going to come up when it's supposed to the second. You can set your clock and it's going to get dark. You know, that's God's perfection. That's God's way. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We're talking about getting ready. We're talking about being ready when he comes. And the earth is going, heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The elements, they're going to melt with a fervent heat. Somebody used to say, oh, that couldn't happen. But let's just look in the natural. If they would drop an atomic bomb here in the middle of Sullivan, it would absolutely melt this church down from that distance. It did in Japan 2 times. So God has got all these things under control, and he's not slack concerning his promises, but as long as we're with him, he protects us. How many believes that God's protect? Somebody said, I got insurance on this, I got insurance on that, I got insurance on my house, I got insurance on my car, I've got life insurance, and I've got hospital insurance. But I'm going to tell you, he is our insurance policy. When all is settled and done, he is the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. And no man can get to the Father but by him. He's the only way. There ain't no other way. But he's not slack concerning his promise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Now seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Seeing then that these things are going to be dissolved. Somebody said, oh, a lot of people's got a great, big, beautiful church. It's, you know, multiple millions of dollars and all that, but it's going to be dissolved. Everything's going to be dissolved. Everything I own and everything you own is going to be dissolved. Somebody said, I'm so proud of my this and proud of that. Well, you ain't going to take it to heaven with you. Somebody said, I got this amount of money in the bank. You ain't going to take it to heaven with you. You're not going to take anything to heaven with you except the promise. And get that promise is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is the promise. And the Holy Ghost will usher us in the way. He will guide us. He's our teacher and he is our guide. He will lead and guide and he will direct us in the way that we are to go. Now seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Now let's look at the rest of that verse. In all holy conversation and godliness. Some people just hate the word holy. This whole book is about holy. How many knows that Jesus is holy? Look at the front of your Bible. It's a holy Bible. It's not just a book. It's a holy Bible. Look at the lives that he has prescribed for us. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. I'm not ashamed of the word holy. Now, it doesn't mean like a lot of people. A lot of people have went overboard with certain things about holiness. But what it means is that we have to have a pure heart. What it means that our soul has to be pure. Our mind has to be pure. It has to be clean. That's what he's saying there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. What does that other verse, the rest of it say? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now let's look. So seeing then these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Let's study on that. In all holy conversation and godliness. I wonder if our conversations daily are holy conversations. Or do we sit around and tell bad things about each other? I don't like him or I don't like her because they this and they that. That's not a holy conversation. I think it ought to be this and I think it ought to be that. That's not a holy conversation. It's not a matter of what you and I think. It's a matter of what thus saith the Lord. If we can just get our minds zeroed in like God wants it. How many knows it said in Philippians 2 and 5? What does it say, Brother Abrams? Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We have to allow it to be in there. And there's a promise ahead for us if we will let this mind be in us, which is in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ will settle a whole lot of things in our life. What manner of persons ought we to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. Verse 12. Now we're going to look some for it. Which way we look? We weren't supposed to look back. Luke 9:62 said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No man is fit for the kingdom of God if I'm looking back, because he wants us to look forward. We can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about now and the future. If you've got away from God, you can do something about that this morning. Because you can look at the future, but you don't look back. You don't look back at the way you used to be. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be like I used to be. I can't figure myself sitting in a tavern, smoking a cigarette, and drinking a beer. But that was back, huh? I can't figure myself drinking a pint of whiskey in the morning and a pint in the afternoon. But I done it, but that's back. I don't look back. I'm looking forward. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God then is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So no man can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost and look back. Verse 12, we're looking somewhere. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God. Looking, every day looking, he might come today. Every night looking, he might come tonight. Every hour looking, he might come now. Seeing, looking. Verse 11 is talking about seeing. And verse 9 is talking about he's not slack. And then the verse 10 is about the thief coming in the night. Verse 11 is seeing. And now verse 12 is about looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Now, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. How many is looking forward to that day? I'm not, but I'm looking for it to happen any time. I realize that the Lord will be in it when it happens. What is our God? Our God is a consuming what? Hebrews chapter 12. Huh? Our God is a consuming fire. When he comes, he'll come in a consuming fire. When he comes, I'm looking for him to come. And the hastening of that day, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat on fire. There's a day coming that's going to purge everything. And when you talk about fire, you think about our God is a consuming fire. How many knows right in the center of this earth, 8 miles down, is molten rock and lava and minerals that just molt and it's hot? Just 8 miles down, we don't know what's going to happen. We're just riding around on this earth, but we have to have our attention on God. You know what God is saying to people now? Give me your attention. Get off of that phone and give me your attention. Get off that computer and give me your attention. Get off of that rock music and give me your attention. Quit listening to this and that and something else and give me your attention. In other words, God is saying, attention, hear my voice. Something's getting ready to happen. Give me your attention. Get your mind straightened out. Get it on the Lord. Get it on that he's coming. And the best thing that we can do is be ready for his coming. And he'll protect. Somebody said that fire sounds terrible. Well, it'll be all right if we're all right with God. If he's a consuming fire, maybe we'll just join our fire right in with his fire and, go, and keep on going. I'd like it that way, wouldn't you? Just melt right in. That's what God wants us to do. Just dissolve ourselves. See, when anything's dissolved, it's dissolved into something. When you dissolve a corporation or dissolve a business or dissolve something, it's dissolved usually into another business. And it becomes the name of the other business that it is dissolved into. That's why we can say, in the name of who? In the name of Jesus. Because we dissolve. We have no right to use it unless we're dissolved into him. In him we live. Acts 17:28. In him we live and we move and we have our being. He's life. That was the breath of life. He's in everything. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. He says, come unto me. Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. A lot of folks just need some rest for their soul. Trying to figure out this, trying to figure out that. I have to watch myself. This politics stuff. Get my mind on that. That's not where it's supposed to be. God will take care of that. So every now and then you see what's going on, and it's good for us to know some of the things that's going on because we might know how to deal with it. But the thing of it is, it's even better to know God, who's able to lead and guide us through everything. He'll take you through. He will lead and guide you into all truth. He's the same yesterday, Hebrews 13:8, as yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I do not change. Looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God. Now, let's see. And he says, where the heavens are going to be on fire and dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Somebody said, I ain't heard the message on this. Well, you maybe have it. A lot of preachers don't preach it anymore. That's in the book. Peter wrote that. He's the one that wrote it. It's in the book. Let's look at verse 13. Then he goes on, he said, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Now, nevertheless, you know, I like to try to situate, and I hope I can, and I'm doing my best to situate myself regardless of what happened. If we're in the Lord, it'll all work out. Did you ever think that? Regardless of what happened. If we just stay with God, it's going to work out for us. And that's what he's saying. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Now, what are we going to look for? We're not going to look for the one that's melted away, but nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth sin. Oh, I misquoted that, didn't I? Wherein, I done it on purpose. Wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. You know what's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth? Nothing but righteousness. The kingdom's going to rule there. Romans 14:17 said the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink, but it's going to rule. Wherein dwelleth righteousness? Ain't going to be nothing but righteousness there, so we better have some righteousness in us. It's not our righteousness, it's him. We get full of him, we're full of his righteousness. And that makes us a creature that's able to dwell in a new city and a new earth. In that new city and the new earth, there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, for the Lamb is the light. That's why we're supposed to have our light shine. Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Well, are we lit up? We must be lit up. We have to be a light. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. Now seeing that you're looking, let's just say we're all looking for such things. We're looking for a city. We're looking for a new heaven. We're looking for a new earth. We're looking for some place that wherein dwells righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And here, so if we go into the 14th verse, and it says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Now, you're looking for such things. Be diligent. How many knows what the word diligent means? What does it mean? How many people really seek God diligently? Diligently, one thing it means is continuously, faithfully, truthfully. We seek it. We seek it. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. How many knows that I don't know too many folks that's got peace in their mind, in their heart. He's not got that peace. Now, that peace is something that we must have because he's the Prince of what? Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Every day we ought to be searching for peace in our life, in our heart, in our mind. But we trouble our mind lots of times with things that we don't need to trouble it with. Maybe we just do it innocently. But we get worried about somebody else's problem. Get worried about this. Get worried about something like that and something like that. But we need to seek diligently that we may be at peace with God. If everybody all around you is not at peace, how many knows there's a turmoil all around you? You can hardly move in the house anymore than on each side of you there's a turmoil. Or you can hardly move out in the country anymore except down the road 300 yards there's some folks in the turmoil. This is times of turmoil. It's times of uncertainty for the people that doesn't know God. It's time for anguish for the people that doesn't know God. But it says here that, wherefore, beloved, we sing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found with him in peace. Now, the next two words are absolutely wonderful words, but we don't like them if we don't watch. without spot and blemish. I want to leave this with you this morning. You know why I preach the truth? Because I love you. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. I don't want to see nobody hurt. I don't want to see nobody miss hell. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blame. Now, that's what he's looking for. Now, if we will all, if everybody can just set out down the highway of life and make that our goal, when we're troubled, let's bring peace to them. Bring Jesus in, he's calm. When we're uncertain, let's bring him in. He's always certain. I may believe Jesus is certain. He's a certain. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be right. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, we can always bring that refreshing. You don't have to wait to church to bring the refreshing in. I got witnesses of that. Andy, you don't have to wait till you come to church to bring the joy in, do you? Over there one day, just a few days ago, and he said, I've just bawled and cried all day. He said, I've just had myself a time. You found something certain. You found the peace. You found the joy. Somebody said, what's he crying for? Because he feels good. Some folks cry when they feel good. Others groan and moan around. I'd rather cry. Huh? I'd rather cry. I don't want to complain because I don't feel good. I'd rather just cry and bring some peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the picture. You know, we need that in our home where we can get a hold of God any time, any hour of the night, any hour of the day, that we can reach out and touch and peace immediately come. Joy come. Oh, that word peace in this scripture here that I just quoted. That is one that I really like. Peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. God. Wherefore, I'm going to read that last verse again. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. He wants to find you in peace. He don't want to find you in your house walking the floor and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what. He wants you, if you walk the floor, to say, Lord, it's going to be interesting to see how you handle this. I don't know how you're going to do, but whatever you do is all right with me. That's peace. That's peace. The road may be rocky, but there's peace on the road. The voyage may be a churning, but there's peace. There's peace.